And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the gospel reading as we just heard these words of Jesus read this evening, and a couple phrases, key phrases in the things that Jesus shares that I'd like us to focus on. And one is, do not be anxious about your life. And the other is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And here ends our text. Well, in Guatemala and parts of Mexico, they have a tradition of a doll that they call the worry doll. Isn't that interesting? They have a worry doll. And it's a doll that's about 2 inches tall. It's made out of wire and covered with cloth. But these dolls are given to children as a custom in that part of the world, as friends to them. And it's a friend that these little kids can bring all of their worries and fears to this little doll and share it with the doll. It goes way back, actually, to a Mayan history of many centuries ago. But even still today, tourists in that area visiting oftentimes buy these dolls. And so they're called worry dolls. Interesting. But I understand that some psychologists that counsel little children, when they get into anxiety and fear and worry, they actually give them still a little doll, and that doll becomes their friend that they can just share all their deep secrets with and all those fears and anxieties that they have. But what's really revealing in this is that from the time we're little, we have this issue, don't we, of anxiety, fear, worry that sometimes can consume our lives. And you know, it's this anxiety that we have for as far as fear of tomorrow, the fear of the unknowns that still lie ahead of us. The fear for the future can really paralyze us, and it can be very burdensome, and it can even immobilize people from functioning normally and the normal tasks that we do every day. Do you realize that in America, by current statistics, we spend over $2 billion a year in America on anti-anxiety medication? Think about that. We are among the most anxious and most medicated nations in the world. We worry about everything, virtually. We worry about enough money. We worry about our health. We worry about our appearance. We worry about our relationships, our jobs, and the list can go on. It's virtually worrying about everything. In fact, we can even worry about whether we should be worried or not. We just really get in as a culture to this thing called worry. Well, about 500 years ago, a French essayist by the name of Michael Montaigne, he wrote these words. I love this quote. My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened. Don't you like that? Most of which never happened. In other words, you know, it's all in the imagination. Some of our worst fears and worries that we have, it never materializes. And certainly we wasted a lot of anxiety over that. But really, that's what anxiety is. It's a frightened imagination that's focused on the worst of what might happen. Not what is happening, but what might happen. Well, we read the gospel. Worry certainly isn't just a contemporary issue, is it? Jesus addresses it way back during his time of ministry in the flesh, visibly upon this earth. And we see what the worries of the day were, similar to ours, right? Maybe not quite as complex of a world then, but there was worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. That sounds pretty familiar. But the fears really drove them to imagine the worst. But here's something that we really need to grasp, I feel, this evening, and Jesus makes it very clear that in his teachings dealing with fear, anxiety, and worry, he refers to this as being an enemy of the faith. Did you catch it in the gospel reading? You know, one would expect the enemy of faith would be doubt, which it is, but fear is certainly a big one that Jesus points out. For instance, remember when the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee and the storm suddenly comes up and they're terrified, they're panicked, they think they're all going to die. And then Jesus, you know, speaks up and he says, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" So Jesus equates the two together, that fear, anxiety, worry really comes out of too little faith. And did you hear it in the gospel this evening? Jesus said the very same thing, "O you of little faith." And so it's not surprising that really anxiety is an issue of faith. And it's good for us to understand that, or lack thereof. And so what does Jesus do? But he directs us to look at God's creation first and foremost. And so look at the birds, you know, look at the lilies and the grass of the field, Jesus says. And it's really beautiful the way that Jesus approaches this. It's really an argument from the lesser to the greater. And so it kind of runs this way. If God cares for the birds and the lilies and the grass that he's created, how much more then will God, our Heavenly Father, care for us, his precious children? And that's the point that Jesus wants us to understand. But you know, there's a beautiful irony here as well, because these lesser creatures of God should teach us human beings of the way that God provides for all that he's created. Even those things that seem of little value, like the sparrow from our perspective, but here, a sparrow, a fragrant lily, tasseled grass blowing in the wind, they're all serving as witnesses. They're speaking out loud to us human beings, by the way, who are the crown of God's creation, reminding us that the Lord certainly is trustworthy to them and provides for their needs. You know, once in a while, I've brought Lauren Daigle up in my sermons, and as a female Christian artist, she's probably my favorite now, but I told the people this morning that when I was driving over from Windsor, I was rocking in the car. I had the stereo cranked up, because she has a song that's titled Everything. And I really encourage you, if you can get on YouTube, just pull it up on YouTube and listen to it. But this is the way her song, and I love her music because it's rooted in God's Word. And her song begins, and it's one on worry. Her song begins, "Even the sparrow has a place to lay its head." Isn't that cool? Even a sparrow has a place to lay its head. And that's what God is pointing us to in this gospel reading this evening. Look at the birds of the air. Well, C.S. Lewis, in his study of the scriptures, identified four great analogies in the Bible with regards to God's love towards us. And he writes this article in an ascending order. So according to C.S. Lewis, the first level and order of God's love is like the love of an artist towards what they have made. Maybe it's like a woman doing pottery, and she's making a cup on the pottery wheel, and you've watched that, how intricate that all is. And then finally, it's just like she wants, and she takes the cup off the wheel. Well, that's kind of like God's relationship, C.S. Lewis says, with the birds and the lilies, his creation. And then ascending to the second love is the love of a master for a beast. And it's like the shepherd's love for his sheep. Or in our current times, it's kind of like our love for our pets. Maybe if you have a dog or a cat or other kind of creature that you're fond of, that lives with you, it's that kind of love that's described in the second level. Well, the third is the love of a parent for a child. And you think of a mother just nurturing their little baby, or you think of a father that's there waiting patiently for his wayward son to return home. And by the way, this Sunday, the gospel reading is about the prodigal son. And so this is the love where we fit in as God's precious children. And then the fourth level that C.S. Lewis describes from Scripture is the love of one spouse for the other. And think about that. Who does Jesus refer to us as? The church. It's the bride, right? And look at that level of love that our Lord has for us, his bride. We are the bride of Christ. What an incredible love. And so Jesus is really revealing to us, clearly, the antidote to worry and anxiety. And the antidote is to trust God's proven love for us. Now, it's important that we understand this, because in God's proven love for us, God isn't saying that bad things aren't going to still happen to us. He isn't saying, well, get back in that lazy boy, kick your feet up, and just sit and say, God, I'm just waiting, you know, just give me everything. Not telling us that. The Lord doesn't give us permission to give up working and making a living to provide for needs that we have. And certainly the Lord isn't telling us in this to stop praying for our needs. But the Lord is comforting us in the reality that it comes back to trust. Trusting in God's love, his persistent and unconditional and unchanging love. That is the antidote that displaces anxiety. You know, no wonder the Apostle Paul could write those incredible words from Philippians. Don't be anxious about anything. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Anything, we could think of a lot of things. Don't be anxious about anything. Here's the antidote. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, acts of trust like prayer and thanksgiving displace worry. And there's more. Jesus goes on, what does he say? But seek that first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. To seek first his kingdom, not second or third or down the line, but to seek first his kingdom is to value our relationship with our Heavenly Father over everything else. In other words, God is number one in our lives, and it's to love the Lord most deeply, to love the Lord more than we love anyone or anything else. And to seek his righteousness is to delight in and follow the Lord's will wholeheartedly. So to prayerfully seek his will and strive to follow wherever God leads us. And you know, many times it doesn't make sense, right? We can't always figure out God's will. But even when it doesn't make sense, especially then, we trust in his love and his wisdom for us and towards us. Well, now as we continue this journey together through Lent, perhaps it's a little easier for us to not be so overwhelmed by being called to trust in Jesus, especially when we focus on the cross. And as we go on this journey, we're going to be at the foot of the cross with Jesus as we hear those accounts. And we're going to hear Jesus' whispers from the cross. We're going to hear his shouts from the cross. And we're going to see his suffering endure to that end when he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Now think about the trust that Jesus put in his Father to be willing to give up his life. It's a pretty incredible thing to ponder over in our thoughts and minds. But in dying, Jesus falls asleep in his Father's arms, entrusting tomorrow and the next day to his Father's providence. What a trust, a perfect trust. And you know, from a world perspective, it may seem like This is an ending event. Jesus died on the cross. It's over. But I say it may seem that way because we know the rest of the story. And we know that death could not hold Jesus, that he rose victoriously from it. And think about this, God's love for his beloved, his caring love extended to Jesus goes beyond Jesus because that love is extended to you and me, his beloved children. If Jesus didn't die in our place, we would be lost. But he has, and the victory has been won, and we are blessed to share in that victory. Yes, this is a Father who can be trusted, and he's proven it time and time again. And so we need to get those worry dolls, if we have them, those worry dolls, and just place them to the side and put our focus and our rest in God's love. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus, rejoicing in the love that he has extended to us and for us. Amen.